From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of May, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Along the way, we'll check in with Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He's been running through last week's WASDE numbers as it relates to soybeans and has some interesting thoughts going forward into the 2021 crop year.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished in Chicago. Nearby July corn for Monday at $3.20¾, a penny and a half higher today. September $3.24 and a quarter, up $1.25. New crop December $0.75 higher at $3.32¾. March contract for the corn at $3.45¼, up a half cent. Next year's May at $3.52¼. Up a quarter. July soybeans at $8.45, 6½ cents higher. August $8.47¾, up 7 cents a bushel. And September up 7¼ at $8.48½. November beans at $8.52¾, 7¼ higher. In January contract, up 7¾ as well. It settled at $8.55¾. The bean oil up 74 cents and the bean meal down $2.40. July soft bread winter wheat down 3¼. That's the harvest month at $4.97. December at $5.09¾, down 3 for the afternoon in the soft red. And hard red July down 6 cents at $4.46¼. Live cattle futures June contract up $1.72½ at $98.72½. August per 100 pounds at $98.85, $1.02½ higher. For the live cattle, feeder cattle finished the May contract up $1.87½ at $126.60. August at $132.65, up $1.47½. And lean hogs in the June at $57.65. That finished 22½ cents lower. Crude oil is down $2.23 a barrel. Ethanol off 3¼ cents, rather up 3¼ cents. And heating oil or diesel fuel up 8¾ cents per gallon. The wholesale price of gasoline is up $0.05¼. It's now above $1 a gallon at $1.02¼. The Dow Jones Industrial Average around 980 points higher. The U.S. dollar up, or rather down, 0.759. And the gold futures for the day at $1,749.20, down 4.20 for the afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It was a good Monday, actually, for soybeans. Nice little up Monday, anyway. What happened there?
Unbelievable. I don't know. I was really shocked. Prepared to sell Friday, even last night, knowing that Mondays are never up. But hopefully it's not a head fake or a scare here. Tuesday, turnaround Tuesday maybe, but I think part of it was basically 60 Minutes last night ran a program with the Fed Chair Powell, and he talked about they had some things in their, I believe, arsenal to help the economy. He was quite optimistic. It was a combination between borrowing, of course, and also maybe printing some additional money, and I think that gave the trade confidence. The market was firm from the get-go overnight. The Dow up over 900 most of the day. And here, as we go into late afternoon, the Dow's up over 1,000. S&Ps are up over 108. Crude oil up over $2 a barrel. It's above $30 a barrel. So I think we're in a position here, if we can kind of start to continue to see some higher highs and some higher lows in here, give the public and market a little bit of confidence. Also, too, talk that China was encouraging their food companies to purchase or maybe be in a mindset to stockpile in case a second wave of the virus breaks out down the road to be prepared. So that's kind of welcome news that, if they kind of step up their purchasing. We did not see anything on the daily sales starting out the week here, but as the week goes on, hopefully we'll see something pop up there as we move through the week.
So the idea is if they need to produce extra stocks that they'll have to have crops, corn, soybeans, pork, other livestock in order to to fill the freezers and the shelves for a potential problem that might come in the future. So turn your attention just a little further into the afternoon for me, because this afternoon, USDA, of course, will release its weekly crop progress report. We are an awfully long ways down the road last week. I'm guessing that was stymied this week.
Yeah, well, see the numbers. The trade range on corn 79 to 87% complete as a nation on corn. The average guess is 81. The average guess on bean planting progress is 56% complete as a nation. Of course, Iowa, Minnesota, and some of those areas that's missed some of these spring rains are going to be a little further along. It varies a lot from location to location. Here locally, we had probably a little over 2 inches of rain there on Thursday, then another 2 inches over the weekend. So we have plenty of standing water around. Looking at the forecast here, spotty showers, dry for a couple of days, and another round of moisture as we go through the weekend. But when you look at that longer range map, it continues to have moisture in there. So this planting progress is going to slow down. Hopefully we won't have to see a whole lot of replant. A year ago we were wet, didn't touch anything, then once we got in the field, kept going. It wasn't a whole lot of replant. As a whole, this replant could be a different story, but it kind of fits the longer term scenario. If you go back last winter, the source we follow has been in publication for 228 years, talked about some moisture in their forecast going in through the growing season. As a whole, the theme was sizzle and drizzle.
Hey, I we've been a week since we had the freeze frost. Have producers been out and looked about? Are they worried about having to replant very much because of that? It just doesn't seem like that's the case.
It was kind of spotty and isolated. I know locally here we were down to 29, 24 degrees. It seems like it's more north. East of us, quite a few pockets in through there, we saw some replant that took place for the most part. So it was kind of isolated. A lot of the crop was still trying to come up out through the ground, but I've not seen or heard of any widespread major replanting of the beans. Corn looked kind of rough. I think producers are wanting to see how this wet weather and warmer temperatures helps it along. The growing point was still quite a bit in the protective stage.
Do you think we'll get to 97 million acres for corn?
No. I'm more in the 95 bracket. These acres is going to be a moving target. I think it's a high benchmark. I think this 95, 96 is more realistic. Maybe I'm just trying to be bullish corn for some reason, but there was quite a few beans go in, and there were some ideas that these bean acres could probably inch up another million or 2 acres, and corn could drop a million or 2 acres, and I think that's what the old Informa group indicated last week there, but I would I'd be surprised to see that many acres. I don't think we have last year's acres right, but I'm not the number counter, so we'll see.
Anything on the technical side we should be aware of?
Well, look at the chart. We are building kind of a basin through here. We keep establishing some higher lows. We've been sideways ever since the middle of March when this demand or virus concern broke out through here. So I think if we can kind of keep chugging sideways in through here and develop a sideways trend and just kind of develop a pennant or a market that can try to take out these downtrend lines here and put a little maybe warm weather in it here in July, that we're in position to do some major retracements or recovery to the upside. But the key is try to continue to build this base and make some higher highs instead of higher lows.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. The address is WILLAG.org. Just click and play right from the website. The opening, closing, and commodity week, along with other reports throughout the day. You'll also find all kinds of other things there as well. Or look us up in your favorite podcast applications like Stitcher, SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He's written about soybeans for the Farm Doc Daily website today. You can find it at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Hey, thanks, Todd, for being with us. What was your focus for the day?
Looking at soybean consumption. You know, we got the WISER reports last week, and I think some people were surprised that the current marketing year's export number was lowered 100 million bushels. And then we saw the first round of projections per use in 2021 marketing year, which I think a lot of people see as a bit optimistic. But basically talking about those and sort of how I believe they're really tied to economic growth and recovery of economic activity as you move through 2020 and 21.
How so?
We still see a pretty strong soybean crush this year. We saw the NOPA crush report in April at around 172 million bushels, a little less than that. And we're really on pace to hit the 2.125 billion bushels USDA projecting this marketing year for crush. But when we see like the pullback in hog and cattle production and poultry production in the third and fourth quarter, it could have an impact on crush, particularly if we're starting to see ethanol production ramp back up a bit, which is a good sign for corn producers, but it means more distillers' grains out there coming back into rations if we see it ramp up in ways we would hope. So it might put a cap on how big crush can be. And next marketing year, USDA basically left it stable for crush use at about 2.13 billion bushels, just a 5 million bushel increase. But implicit in that crush number is economic activity, I think, reverting close to normal. And with as many restaurants are closed and the unemployment level we see, you can see a real change in meat demand as people are adjusting this new reality, which could affect meat production, which translates back into soybean meal use for the next year and a half. We already see soybean oil at really high stock levels, and so the crush margins could get get impacted by this economic activity being muted under this new reality of COVID-19. You know, the export numbers, that 100 million bushels down, it really tracks the kind of pace we're seeing for soybean exports. Now, while we have seen an uptick in Chinese purchases recently for this market year and next, we're still actually not on pace to hit 1.675 billion bushels this marketing year, unless we see a little bit of an increase in export pace. I think we can hit it. The good sign is, you know, this Chinese buying may give a signal that they mean that meet their phase one trade commitments, but there's still a lot of politics in play as we move through 2020 about the phase one trade deal and the relationship between the U.S. and China. Look at 2021, USDA penciled in 2.05 billion bushels of exports, and I think a lot of market observers found that a bit optimistic. You know, they also projected Brazil to have a 4.8 billion bushel crop next year, but they had exported down, you know, 1 million metric tons from this year. You know, to hit 2.05 billion bushels, that's basically implying that we're going to recoup our market share that China buys from us, which implies that the phase one trade deal will be in place. But even if that does happen, there's going to be some really stiff competition in the rest of the world if a Brazilian crop turns out to be 4.8 billion bushels. So you may see that export number get peeled back as we go through time. But those use projections, you know, turn to 580 million bushel carryout this year and to a little over 400 million bushels next year. As you see, they had a marking your price of 820. You know, 9% stocks used to usually correlate with an 820 soybean price in the futures market. And so I think the market's sort of expecting a little bit bigger crop than's currently penciled in, is a few more acres and maybe a little bit less consumption than USDA's put in place. So as we go forward, we need economic recovery to go at a pace that's right now slower than many would like. When we look around the world, even China, for instance, their April unemployment numbers were up, their retail spending was down. It takes a little bit longer to restart an economy than people think. And I think this could hang over soybean demand as we move through 2020 into next year.
Just one quick point of clarification as it relates to the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates from USDA released in May, looking forward into the new crop year. I believe the policy would be for WASDE to show the full phase one amount for the 2020-21 crop year until they don't see the exports coming in from China. Is that right?
I think the assumption is they would put down a forecast based on what they think would happen under current policy. I'm not sure $2.05 billion is right even under current policy. If we see a Brazilian crop of 4.8 billion bushels, when you look at how weak their currency is, and I don't see that changing anytime soon, we could see some really stiff competition in the world for soybeans next year, particularly if the world economy in general is still slogging through all the repercussions from these lockdowns. So I'm optimistic. I would love it if it was well over 2 billion bushels. But yes, they make a forecast, in my understanding, based on where policy is right now and what they think it will be. But I'm not sure a lot of market observers agree with that projection.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's turn our attention to the weather forecast on this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo is now here from Risk Pulse in Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We had a lot of rainfall over the weekend. I'm not sure that we really needed that much. Can you tell me about it?
Sure. Yeah, the primary rains did occur here late Saturday night and throughout much of the day Sunday across Illinois, as well as Wisconsin and on into Indiana and Michigan. Some of the highest totals were across the northeastern section of Illinois, where 2 to even a few pockets received over 3 inches. And resulted in flooding issues, especially a bit more urban areas here in northeastern Illinois. But nonetheless, widespread rains and certainly not needed given even some of the heavier rain events seen last week.
Do we have more rainfall in the offing?
For Illinois, the outlook looks pretty favorable here, meaning that we do not see any significant follow-up rain events basically throughout the remainder of this week. Now, a bit further east, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan will still see some lingering rain today, but tomorrow is their first day where they start to dry out. And again, it's looking like generally five, six days of totally dry conditions here. Much needed following the recent heavy rainfall.
A couple of places I'd like to check in on particularly. Parts of the West have been really dry, and then other parts have not been so dry. For instance, the folks in North Dakota are still running behind.
Yeah, that is one area here where wetter conditions back a couple weeks ago combined with unseasonably cold temperatures have resulted in the significant delays there, as well as even as of a few weeks ago, folks in North Dakota were still harvesting some of the crop from last year. But overall, the pattern is looking much more favorable across North Dakota, let alone much of the northern plains and the northwestern Midwest. So with the combination of drier conditions over the next week or two, plus warmer than normal temperatures, that's going to allow the rest of the crop to get in and in pretty good fashion.
How are conditions now in Europe and parts of Ukraine, Russia, and some of the stands?
Yeah, well, certainly they've improved in portions of the Black Sea region, Ukraine, Russia, and then some additional rain activity in some of the Kazakhstan and Siberia spring wheat areas. For the initial concern back a couple of weeks ago was some of the widespread dryness across both Europe and the Black Sea, but that has since improved. And with more rain on the way for the Black Sea, that area will continue to improve. We are watching, though, some dryness beginning to expand again across Western Europe. So countries such as the UK, Germany, Netherlands, lesser extent Poland and Hungary, those zones will be, and the countries within it will be turning drier here coming up. So something to watch, any kind of major issue right now, but they're going to be going into June in a drier mode, as well as temperatures warming up. So something to watch as we move towards June 1st.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain situation. We're joined by Greg Johnson at the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about this little up we've had in the soybean market for the day.
Well, it feels like China is seeing all the right things. We're seeing a little bit better demand. Farmers obviously aren't real happy with the price, so we're not seeing much farmer selling. And so what little bit of activity there is coming from the buy side. So a little follow through the rest of the week would be good, but at least we're off to a good start today.
Yeah, that would be for new crop primarily, I would think, for farmers. How about old crop? I bet they're beginning to get pretty worried about the corn that they have yet to sell.
Corn especially, yes. We're starting to see some ethanol plants come back online. With the higher crude oil prices and higher gasoline prices, that's helping out. So we should start to see the demand start to pick up, but obviously it won't pick up nearly as fast as what it dropped off, and we probably won't get back to where we were, but at least it's something. And so that should maybe help a little bit, emphasis on little, not looking for a big rally at all, but maybe we'll start to see the basis firm up a little bit as some of these ethanol plants come back online.
Did you all have a discussion about the WASDE report after it came out, the new crop 970 million bushel increase in usage?
We did. We were wondering, do they know something we don't know? it seems awfully optimistic to increase demand in all three major factors into the exports, the feed usage, and the ethanol usage. I think they're relying on this China trade deal. That's the only thing I can figure out, is that they're really expecting that to carry on through here in the next 12 months. Otherwise, I'm not sure how you can increase all three demand factors in corn without that happening.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is going to be 303. New corn also 303. Cash beans 836. New beans 821. And new crop wheat is 478.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.